The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In John 15, what is the difference between being pruned and being taken away? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hello and welcome to the show. This is Grace in Focus, and I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us. Currently, we're in a series where we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, hello. Thank you for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hello, my name is Bob Wilkin.
And we're here to answer your questions on the Bible and theology. Let's see, do we have any interesting questions here today? Let's find out. Here's one from Brad. Brad says, in John 15, 1 to 2, this is the famous passage about Jesus is the vine and he's going to prune us. It says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Or lifts up. That's
right.
What I think. Who argued for?
Earl Rodmacher and Gary Derrickson.
Gary Derrickson's
the main one.
He's the main one. We have an article about that. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Brad says, I believe this verse is talking to believing disciples and so is applicable to us today.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And he says, I'm trying to understand the difference. Can you provide biblical examples of Christians being pruned and those where God takes away or lifts up? What's the difference between pruning and being taken away or lifting up, he's asking. And can you provide a personal or recent example of each of those things? Pruning and taking away, or what Gary Derrickson argues should be translated, lifts up. Let's talk about what does that verse mean, first of all?
Right. Well, this is a picture of discipleship. And it's basically saying we as disciples of Jesus Christ do not produce fruit independent of the power which he provides.
Right. So Jesus is not only our Savior at like the point of faith where we become born again. You don't get to walk away from Jesus at that point. It's not like he becomes useless to you at that point.
Right.
You need Jesus to live the Christian life too, not just to save you from death, but now to live this new life.
He empowers, he enables. And without that empowering and without that enabling, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
You know, we heavily emphasize, believing in Jesus for eternal life, but you've often said eternal life is not something that's separate from Jesus. He is eternal life.
Right. We're told he is eternal life in the prologue of John's gospel, John 1, 1 through 5. And we're also told he's eternal life in 1 John 1, 2 and 1 John 5, 20, 21. And so, yeah, Jesus is eternal life. He gives it to us. And then in order for us to be fruitful, we must abide in him.
Mm-hmm.
And the abiding principle is found in John 13 through 15, and it's also found in 1 John. It's also found in John 8, 30 through 32. If we abide, then the truth will set us free. We abide in him and his word.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm a gardener. I'm a terrible gardener, okay? But I've been trying year after year for the last 5 years to grow stuff. I don't have the gift, whatever that. I have a black thumb of death is what I have. But I know a little bit about pruning and lifting things up. And the image here is of, it's called viticulture, right? Growing grapes for winemaking. And there are two things you need to do in winemaking. You need to be pruning branches. And what is the purpose of that? It's so that the nutrients of the branch goes to the fruit-producing parts, right? Something like that? I don't know.
I'm less of a gardener than you are. But my understanding of pruning is that it's part of the process, not just in viticulture, but in all of plants, producing the healthiest plants.
Yeah.
You're taking off some extraneous shoots in order to cause more robust growth elsewhere in the plant.
It's like I'll trim off the dead branches or the dead leaves or whatever. Or sometimes I'm thinning out things so that the healthy parts can grow even more. I think that's kind of like the pruning image.
Right. And you see this, for example, now crepe myrtles aren't fruit bearing, but oftentimes you will see people who know what they're doing will trim back their crepe myrtles in the right time of the year so that when it grows, the growth is stronger and you get thicker trunks and everything else. The same thing is true in fruit-bearing trees. So to come back to some of Brad's questions.
Well, so in the Christian life, this needs to be done to us.
This needs to be done to us, and God does it. So and there, God does it through His Spirit.
So there's areas of our life, you know, even though you're a born-again believer, God's not done with you. He's just kind of begun working with you.
Exactly.
There are dead leaves in your life, and there are weak little branches that need to be pruned away.
Right.
So that you can produce fruit, meaning you're going to be a good servant, like a servant who's really achieving things for God. Is that kind of the picture here?
Yeah. The idea of pruning is God using various circumstances in our lives to cause them to grow further. The lifting up, what some people say, like Gary Derrickson says, is that what you would have is low-growing branches off the vine
right.
would be put on a trellis
yeah.
or a little stilt so that they wouldn't be touching the ground, and that would cause them to get the air they need to grow.
Right.
Whatever, whether it's pruning or lifting up, I don't know if there's any big distinction there in terms of what that figure is meant to intend.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine a difference. I mean, isn't there a difference between God having to remove the dead parts of your life versus God having to just encourage you? I don't know. I almost feel like the lifting up is like, there's nothing to prune. You just need a little more support. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be.
But that's just my imagination. Jesus doesn't say that.
Right. Part of the question is, how much does the Lord expect us to carry out the application of what He's talking about here? I would say whether it's Him encouraging us or whether it's Him getting rid of the dead wood or other things, it seems to me we find principles of this in the New Testament. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5, Paul says that he's delivered over this believer for the destruction of his flesh.
Right.
Maybe you could read that one.
Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
And I take that, we've spoken about this before, I take that as a reference to sanctification, not regeneration. And what
right.
he's saying is, I've delivered this believer for the destruction of his fleshly passions, that mm-hmm. is, actually having his father's second wife as his, so that he would be saved, that is, spiritually healthy at the judgment seat of Christ, in the day of Christ Jesus. And so the idea there is that's some sort of pruning taking place there, I think. You see the same principle all through Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 to 11, talks about God disciplines His children.
Yeah.
It's not clear that that's discipline as a result of sin. In Hebrews 12, it seems to be that that's talking about child training
okay.
that all believers receive. The idea would be God is using this in our lives. And of course, we have in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together,
yeah.
but we're to encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. And so as we gather together in corporate worship, it's a time of encouragement.
Mm.
Maybe that's part of your lifting up part. We're also getting solid teaching. And of course, in order for a vine to grow properly, you need good soil, and there's the parable of the four soils.
Sure.
We're to be the good soil. We're
sure.
not to be choked out by cares, riches, and the pleasures of life.
Yeah.
And we're not to have that rock layer down there 4 or 5 inches below the soil. We're to get out any impediments to the Word of God putting down deep roots.
Yes.
And we're to be the productive soil. And, of course, it needs watering, but the watering comes from regular participation in church, where we're being taught by gifted teachers who are giving us the instruction we need.
What's an example of you getting pruned versus you getting encouraged?
Well, I don't know if there is a difference, but let's take your analogy
there is, yeah.
and say there's a difference. I think in terms of being encouraged, me coming to faith in Christ through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, and then Warren Wilkie, who led me to faith, discipling me, bringing me along initially in the faith and encouraging me in my walk. And
yeah.
then I went on staff with Crusade, and I was encouraged by various campus directors and regional directors. Even the students I worked with would encourage me.
Yeah.
And then when I went to Dallas Seminary, quite a few professors, teaching assistants, had a ministry in my life and encouraged me. You know, after that, in the many years I've been heading Grace Evangelical Society, I've had board members that have encouraged me. I've had people like you that have encouraged me, and the various people who work here have encouraged me, and the people who support GES have encouraged me.
Yeah.
But in terms of pruning, well, the pruning has been experiences where painful things have happened. Like there was a time when the staff were not, early on in the ministry, staff were not well pleased with me, and it led to a mini sort of a rebellion.
This is before me, by the way.
This was long before Sean. And God used that in my life to change me in some significant ways, in which I interacted with the staff and giving more encouragement and less micromanaging. And the same thing, my board, there was a time early in the ministry of GES, some of my board members were trying to take GES into a different direction. They wanted to be more inclusive and, you know, less free grace and more kind of evangelical.
Yeah.
I stood against that, and it was a very painful experience, but I think it was a pruning time. And, of course, I remember when I taught at Multnomah School of the Bible, which is now Multnomah University, and Sharon couldn't take the climate there. Mm-hmm. We ended up leaving after a year, and that was very painful for both of us.
Yeah,
but it was a pruning time that God used.
Yep.
It seems to me we all go through that, and the question is, do we respond well when God allows difficulties in our life or brings difficulties in our life? And do we respond well when we hear clear Bible teaching?
Right.
Are we receiving the word with joy?
Good thoughts. It's just important to remember God wants you to grow. And sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's encouraging, but he's doing it for your benefit.
Exactly. It's all part of the process whereby the vine makes the branches fruitful. But it's really about him. He's the one that produces the growth. And an interesting turn, the way he does that is by us focusing on him.
Amen. Thank you, Bob.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about who can believe for eternal salvation. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.